We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. If you want to be
having a great time,
you want to be
loving the fun.
If you want to see all of the excitement, this is the place, and we're the one. If you want to be yelling like crazy for the guys you love to see, come on out and join us. This is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
If you want to see
the best of the big leagues,
you want to be
loving the day, come share the excitement of the stolen bases and double plays.
This is where it happens.
For the very best in baseball, this is the place you want to be. We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Like, if that doesn't make you smile, I don't know what's going to make you smile on a Thursday.
No, that's the 70s Royals theme song. Let it go. That's the 70s Royals theme song.
God, it just makes me smile and feel all warm and good when I hear that song, because things are going great when it comes to baseball. And I'm going to say this. I'm going to admit something to you right now, Dusty. I peeked in on the text line just to see, you know, kind of what you're dealing with. And I did see a text on the text line that I did like. And I'm going to say, where was it now? I lost it now. Anyway, but it was... It was one I looked at. I'm like, oh, that was a pretty good text. Oh, that's right. It's pronounced lot lizard. That's what
I was going to say. You know what that is, right?
Of course, yes. I met a guy yesterday.
Who are you calling a cootie queen, you lint licker?
And so I met this guy yesterday at Jefferson's, and he goes, hey, my grandpa's a big fan. You know, would you, you know, he used to drive a truck. Would you take a picture with me? I want to send it to my grandpa because he likes you. I'm like, cool, man, sure. And so we started talking about truck driving and whatnot. He goes, yeah, I think he met my grandma at a truck stop.
Hell yeah. I don't care where you met. That's love.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, here it is from the 816. I'm more of a Chiefs and overall football fan.
Yeah.
But this city just has a different bounce to it during baseball postseason.
Duh.
And what it's but it's what I've said for years. There's nothing better in a town than October baseball. Yeah. Like, as good as this Chiefs run has been,
no doubt,
hasn't been like 14 and 15.
Right.
It's just not the same. And we're starting to see that back. Okay. These first two wild card games, they're in the books. It's done. It's the DS. It's the Yankees. This town is going to be bleeding blue until this baseball season is now officially over. And look, I've told the story a couple of times this week already, and I'll continue to say it again.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are the most excited about this are the folks at Arrowhead, who were here in 14 and 15.
Yeah.
That have the opportunity to show the new guys, right? Like, Mahomes has never lived through this. Okay. Spagnuolo has never lived through this. There are people in the organization right now that weren't here in 14 and 15. And I've heard stories that, like, some of those guys are like, I'm tired of hearing you guys talk about the Royals in 14 and 15. This is coming from the Arrowhead thing. And they're like, we want the Royals to get back so bad, so these guys that weren't here in 14 and 15 mm-hmm. can see what happens to this town. Well, now we have that moment. Steve Spagnuolo is going to see what a blue October looks like. Patrick Mahomes is going to see what a blue October looks like. Like, I really think the only one that was here was Trav, right? Like, Travis was probably the only one.
Winchester?
Maybe. You know, Andy was here, Brett was here, you know, Tobe was here, guys like that.
Butker?
No, I don't think.
17?
Yeah, I don't think Butker was.
No, we still had Ryan Succop.
Yeah, I really do believe
Succop.
Travis was the only guy player-wise, and that's, you know, a decade ago.
When did they get Chris Jones?
He was 16.
So he just missed it.
Yeah, he was 16. Yeah, he just missed it by a year.
Which means they have a bye. So let's go ahead and predict the future real quick. They have a bye week.
Yeah.
And week six. The Royals play a home game that Wednesday. How many Chiefs players are in the suite?
Oh, you know Mahomes is going to be there.
The suite's rocking. Yeah, is Swift there?
Is Taylor going to be there? Ooh. Oh, my God.
Can she make the world hate the Royals?
Oh, God, yes.
Come on, Tay.
Come on, Travis. You got to get Taylor to the Royals game on Wednesday.
I
want to
see Taylor in powder blue. Right? That's not creepy. Ooh. That's not creepy.
What if she wear what the Chiefs are home this weekend?
Yeah.
She'll be there.
No, of course.
What if she wears a Royals jersey to the Chiefs game?
No chance. You respect the Chiefs on Monday night, but Wednesday night, go to the suite and have a damn you know, Bobby Witt Jr. powder blue jersey.
The internet will break if Taylor Swift is at the Chiefs game in a Royals jersey. Like, I could see her doing it just to say, hey, I'm embracing everything Kansas City, and everybody knows how big Monday night is, because everybody in that stadium is going to be wanting to know what's going on with baseball. Taylor shows up in a powder blue Royals jersey.
Maybe like a half and half.
And I'll say this. I was watching some old 70s highlights, Royals-Yankees. The Royals need to roll out in Yankee Stadium in powder blue on Saturday night. The Royals need to wear powder blue on Saturday night at Yankee Stadium. You want to talk about breaking the world, right? You roll into Yankee Stadium in your powder blues. Let's do it, Royals. Come on, Matty Q.
Getting goosebumps.
Man, that'd be great.
How awesome would that be?
Who's the jersey you want to see Taylor Swift wear? Because I kind of want Vinny Pasquantino.
Yeah, I mean, you could go Salvi, probably.
I mean, it would be Salvi or Bobby would be my guess. But
you want Bobby to get on the main stage and everyone to know his name?
All right, how about this? How about this one? She wears a powder blue 87 that says Kelsey on the back.
That's it. That's the yes.
And that signals they're engaged. She's bought into Kansas City. She's living in Leawood. Mm-hmm. We'll see her at the Trader Joe's.
With her Stanley.
Yeah, exactly. She'll be on a soccer field near you.
Somebody
yelling at refs about offsides.
See, sometimes the text sign, it feeds to your energy from the 6-2-0. I want Bobby to slide into third, jump up, and punch the third baseman in the face.
There you go. In powder blue. Like, reenact the whole thing.
That's great. By the way, you do have a chance to win tickets to Seinfeld and Jim Gaffigan. Let them know how, Bob.
Yes, you can win when you hear the Seinfeld drop. Mm-hmm. Be caller number 7 to 913-586-7965, and you'll win a pair of tickets to go see Jerry Seinfeld and Jimmy Gaffney, or Jim Gaffigan, as I like to call him. They're coming to the T-Mobile Center January 18th. Tickets on sale now at AXS.com. You can win them and buy them, and I'll be there. I'm excited for that event and looking forward to that. So January 18th at T-Mobile, tickets on sale now at AXS.com, but be caller 7 when you hear that sounder.
Also, you can tune in to our show on Twitch, YouTube, everything like that. So you can check us out. You can see our wonderful faces as we react to your wonderful text.
Right.
Conversation we're going to have real quick before we go to break. There are two contracts that are very vital for the Royals coming up. And I know that you don't want to talk about the future, because right now is here. Who gets extended first? Q or Cole Reagans?
Well, it's Cole Reagans, because you've got to extend your players. The players are what makes the team. These manager contracts just seemingly renew.
Because been perfect in the playoffs.
He's been unbelievable in the playoffs. Like, he's managed this thing brilliantly. Like, he put a cheese blanket over Baltimore like it's nobody's business.
And he wasn't the one bunting for Michael Garcia, by the way. So let's take it easy.
Right, exactly. Yeah, Michael Garcia's got to put the bunt down. But, I mean, that was a perfectly executed in place cheese blanket over the Orioles. And now you're going to do it over the Yankees. Those contracts, like the manager contracts, never get announced. Nobody ever talks about it. They just say, oh, we got a new contract. We got another year added onto this. Or, you know, maybe he's got a clause in his contract that each year just rolls over unless the team doesn't want to. But you don't win without players. And Cole Reagans is going to be the next guy to get paid, you know, after obviously Bobby Witt got paid. Boy, John's writing checks, man. We need to get a new stadium, get some more suites sold so we can keep these guys in town. But that's the good news now. You're going into this thing understanding John Sherman as an owner is willing to spend to keep the players that we love. Like, this team is not going to be broken up because David Glass doesn't want to pay somebody.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think they both get done, obviously, right? Like, I think you have your ace for your future.
Yeah.
And Cole Reagans. And I think you have your manager for quite some time.
Yeah,
and I don't. The other thing too,
he's not
is
going
like,
anywhere.
And that's the exact point. I don't think he's in a hurry. I don't think he's worried. I think it's his job now for the rest of time unless it goes south really bad.
Right.
But what he's done in 2 years on this franchise, gone from 56 wins to over 80, going from being out of the playoff contention by July to being in the ALDS against the New York Yankees in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, you solidified yourself for a while.
Yeah, I mean, you win a championship this year, right? Let's just say you win the World Series this year. Mm-hmm. You're in the conversation as greatest manager in Royals history. And that's Ned right now. That's Ned right now.
Overhauser?
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because he's the winningest manager and the losingest manager for the Royals, which is bizarre.
But, like, when Ned won, and Ned won in an era where market size of Kansas City doesn't win, the Royals still, in 2015, are still the only team, like, I believe in, like, market 20 and lower that has won a world championship since the strike. And so what the Royals have done has been unbelievable. What they did, I should say, was unbelievable with Ned and Dayton and those guys. They did something that the rest of baseball still hasn't been able to do. So that's why Ned is the number one manager. It's harder to win when Ned was managing the Royals than when Hauser was managing the Royals, because baseball was even. Ewing Kauffman was writing checks as big as George Steinbrenner back in the day, and then it got all out of hand, and baseball changed. But since the strike, no small market team has won a World Series other than the Royals. So Ned is still number one on top. But if you go from 106 losses to a world champion, then we're having the conversation, who's the better manager? Is it Ned Yost or is it Mac Quatrero? And I don't hate that being a topic of discussion if the Royals win a World Series.
And you can always listen to Mac Quatrero on Wednesdays at 9 o'clock. He'll join us again next week, coming home, playing that home game, hopefully up 2-0, worst case scenario, up 1-1 or tied 1-1, going into a Wednesday night game at the K.
And here's why I don't read the text line from 913. What are we doing, guys? Talking about Chiefs players and what jersey Taylor Swift wears? This is embarrassing. You make Kansas sound like a bunch of high school girls. The Royals in the playoffs. Nobody cares about the Chiefs or Swift. Be better, guys!
Was that your Tony Romo?
No, that was my Bob Fesco.
And then from the 816, y'all aren't nervous? Didn't the Yankees smoke us a few weeks back? Honest question.
I'm not nervous. That's
when they were promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
He ain't promised anything.
Yeah.
Anyways, this is Fesco and Dusty in the morning that we're calling it today. I'm glad that a lot of people are loving the energy. Coming up on the other side, Nate Taylor from The Athletic gives you some Chiefs talk that you might be wanting, because the Chiefs actually talk today. You can hear Nate Taylor on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
I think it's safe to say that our luck has officially turned around, guys. We are back, baby. We are back. We are back. Classic. We are back.
Shout out to Adam Glass
For the winner of the Seinfeld tickets. You can go see a funny guy. Fesco and Dusty brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology as the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainerKC.com. How you feeling today, Bob?
I feel great today, Dusty.
Yeah.
The allergies aren't as bad today as they've been.
Yeah, they were good.
They died down a little bit. We got two wins under our belt. We got 2 days to kind of relax and chill, and got California Trail football today. So I'm excited.
Oh, cheerleading day?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So
should have a little extra pep in her step.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Are they enjoying this Royals run? Or are they? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I know the wife's loving it. She's huge.
I think they. I think they will. I mean, they're 3 o'clock in the afternoon games, so you know they're getting out of school and doing all that kind of stuff. You know, and so you know, we'll see how it goes. I know they enjoyed the 14 and 15 run, but God, they were 3 and 4 back then. They don't remember, and so it's crazy. Like they get the Chiefs thing, and they kind of remember being at the Royals parade, but not that much, and whatnot. They remember everything with the Chiefs because it's front and center right now. So I'm hoping this kind of spurs their memories a little bit. But you know, you have I guess you kind of have those first sports memories. For me, the first real year I can remember was 1986 in sports, and the Mets, the Giants, you know, and then it kind of took off from there in my sports kind of memory. And in 1986, I was 8 or 9 years old. I was born in 77, so do the math. But I think that's kind of when your brain starts to really truly remember that kind of stuff. I don't know what your earliest sports memory was, how old you were, but it was before 10, but you know, I wasn't 3 and 4 remembering stuff like that.
I think where I was really like zoned in was probably when the Chiefs beat Houston in the Oilers stadium.
So like 92, 93.
Yeah.
Because when they threw the football at Buddy Ryan.
Yeah. Because my dad was in cowboy boots and he stepped up. I don't know. It was the time.
I didn't know if he was like an Oilers fan or something.
No, he just used to always go to Guitars and Cadillacs, an old bar that, you know, line dancing.
Oh, God,
stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
And a great Dwight Yoakam song. We don't need to practice, Randy. That's from Sling Blade, Dwight Yoakam as well. I remember that because my dad hated Buddy Ryan. Mm-hmm. And he just knew we weren't going to win that game. And then I think it was Keith Cash scored the touchdown, yeah, threw it at Buddy Ryan's face, and yeah, we're just celebrating. He stepped on my toe and ruined the moment. I started crying.
Aww.
I mean, I was like six.
Yeah, there you go. So about, yeah, I guess I remember the 85 Bears. Like, you know, that was kind of the first team, the 85 Bears.
That's the first, like, vivid, if the youngest I can go memory.
Yeah.
And then I would say that after that, when I really started to really get into sports, was when Trent Green threw the 99-yard pass to Mark Boerichter.
Yeah.
And the year before, Trent Green was like not good, and they were calling, they were spelling his name T-R-I-N-T.
No, there was one person who was doing that, Whitlock.
Right. Yeah, and he was calling him
hey.
Right. And so then he threw that 90-yard touchdown pass, and he did the whole like gladiator thing. Like, are you not entertained?
Was that Trent who threw that pass to Boerichter?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And he threw his hands up, and he, trust me, I remember. Yeah. And he threw his hands up like, what now? And then that's what turned into like the Vermeil dominance of like all that powerful runs and all those, you know, that offense that would then lose in the no punt game.
Yeah, right.
Obviously. And then, but yeah, you can go back all you want. We'll talk to Nate Taylor here in just a couple minutes. But I do, I was talking to Cody, he's in the bullpen. And I was like, you know, Ruby and Desmond, they're kind of age to kind of know what's going on. He was like, yeah, Ruby loves Vinny Pasquantino and did understand how he was playing because she had asked me when I did the hot dog race, like, where's Vinny? And I was like, well, he's hurt.
He's
and
hurt.
She goes, Vinny's back. And I was like, that's the sort of acknowledgement that you love to see because they knew, they remembered, and now they see and they put it into motion. And then he's like, Desmond just loves the action. Like, if everybody's happy, then we're happy. So,
yeah,
like, you know, it's that kind of thing. But there are people in this world that, you know, might have been seven, and now they're 17 to think about that,
yeah,
right?
Right,
like,
yeah.
You're understanding a lot more now than you did 10 years ago. I'm understanding more now than I did 10 years ago. Like I mentioned earlier in the show, I was an intern and a first-year hire, and I got to watch all these guys have this moment, and I got to be with you and our old boss John and his wife during the parade. And that's when I was like, man, I love being a part of this. And that's why I think a lot of this has to do with this year is like, I'm ready to see the next wave on this cruise ship that we've been riding all summer to see what it brings to the city. Because I'll be honest with you, man, I've been to two Chiefs parades. I've been to a Royals parade. Ain't nothing like a Royals parade.
No, the
man.
Royals parade was just still, it was like the most perfect day, even though we had a walk as, you know, as far as we did that day. Mm. But it was still a perfect day. Like you couldn't have scripted a better day. It was November 6th or whatever it was. It was blue sky. It was warm.
It was almost hot.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah. And everybody, you know, was on their best behavior. And you know, they didn't have enough bathrooms, I remember. And so we've had more portageons and whatnot. But, mm-hmm. I mean, those aerial shots of the blue, like, you tear up starting to think about it because that was our first foray into, holy crap, this is what winning's about.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs said, oh, you want to see winning? Hold my beer.
Right.
And they've done this. But it's important for the Royals to do this and to establish this now and then to sustain it because what happened between 14, 15 and where we are now, you still lost a lot of fans with the TV thing, obviously, but with all the losing as well. You got to keep those fans and maintain that fan base. And if you sustain winning, well, then the fan base will sustain and the winning will be there. And there's just nothing better than postseason baseball in a town. It's the greatest time of year. I'm so excited we're back.
We'll ask our next guy about his kid because he was probably way too young. Probably wasn't even, not, may not have been born yet as we get ready to get Nate Taylor on the show presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Nate Taylor, The Athletic, joins us here on Fesco and Dusty. Nate, how's the little man enjoying this Royals run, by the way?
No, I just heard you all. No, it's great. Just a quick backstory. You know, I wasn't living in Kansas City at the time in 2015. We were living in Indianapolis. And, my boy was just a few months old. He was born in early August of 2015. And I'll never forget being in the hospital and the Royals, I believe, winning seven straight games. And, you know, just kind of watching from afar, obviously, because I wasn't in Kansas City at the time. But mm-hmm. I remember... we woke him up, you know, essentially the middle of the night. He must be thinking like, what in the world is going on? And, I remember we changed him into a Royals, onesie and
hell yeah.
We woke him up and, you know, you're just celebrating, you know, there, one of the best things about October baseball is, and this might be even more so than football because of course there are more games, the leverage, in some ways, is even more difficult to deal with because it's not like the next play is a critical third down. It's like, man, every pitch, you sometimes forget how difficult it is to get through a postseason baseball game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was an incredible run. There are things about postseason baseball games that you will never forget, right? Certain sequences, you know, that are somewhat similar to like drives in the NFL. But yeah, watching the game yesterday, I had, by the way, I had intense FOMO these last 2 days, ladies and gentlemen, because I saw all my friends, all my colleagues from the station, obviously hanging out at Jefferson's. You know, some of us have to be professional and write stories for The Athletic and kind of do their job.
You've done that at Jefferson's. There was a lot of people with laptops doing their work.
No days off, Nate. No days off.
You know, you could have come down, Nate. I mean, you know, Steve was working on his laptop and whatnot. So, you know, you could get out there and get that laptop going. There was nothing going on at Arrowhead yesterday. The week begins today. Like, seems like it's on you, my friend.
I know. But yes, we did watch the game yesterday. And to show my son, you know, sort of the game in its entirety, because thank the Lord, the games were on national television. Uh-huh. just to scream and get back to that sort of feeling. I mean, this is quite the run, and how can you not be romantic about baseball and the idea of Bobby Witt Jr.? I just want to tell Aaron Boone real quick, fellas. Aaron, you're a smart man. You're doing a great job. I'm sure people in New York love you.
No.
Please continue to pitch to Bobby Witt Jr. That's please, all I ask please, for. Please.
Which is like, you see egregious coaching decisions. Like, I don't know. There was there was a game in February where there may have been an egregious coaching decision of taking the football. Which was worse? Flat brim Shanahan taking the football in overtime in the Super Bowl or pitching to Bobby Witt in the sixth inning yesterday or 2 days ago?
That's such a great question.
Thank you.
I still think based on the magnitude of the game, I still have to say, poor Kyle Shanahan. Let's remind people that not only did he take the ball because they didn't quite understand the rule, which is like insane because you know you're literally playing for the championship. Okay, all right, you know what? You didn't understand the rule. Okay, but whatever. You got the ball first. Great. Hey, man. Go score a touchdown. You can't get that close and be like, you know what? We'll kick a field goal. No, stop it. We all know who's on the other side of the field. So, or who's across the sideline from you. So no, it's still Kyle Shanahan by a wide margin. Cause it's like, well, you know, third down didn't go well, but like, let me see if we give up a touchdown after we kick the field goal, we don't get the ball right, guys. Everybody says that. Right. Okay. We might want to block Chris Jones, you know, on fourth down, maybe.
Why, though?
So, yes, that's a great comparison because yesterday I said, you know what, Brendan Hyde? By the way, I had to Google this man's name.
So did I. Don't feel bad. I had no idea who that guy was.
Is that the guy that looked like Riff Raff?
I'm like, man, well, if they didn't win with Buck Showalter, good luck to you, good sir. So I had to Google this man's name, and I said, you know what? It's one game. You know, it's just one game. In a wild card, hey, you know, maybe you wanted to test the young kid because this is his first playoff game. But he showed you he's of immense talent. Okay, sir, there's a base wide open over there.
Right,
put him there.
And you got a guy with a busted finger waiting in the on deck circle. You know,
well, the thumb's not a finger.
Right. Well, and who by the way played heroically yesterday? Right.
Yeah.
He was such a morale boost in game one just because he does give you some legitimacy to the lineup. But obviously, Vinny coming through yesterday was pretty dang important considering that, you know, you're not necessarily sure what you're going to get out of him. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah, man, that guy's really good. That other guy, he's special. Why are you pitching to him? So I know the Yankees were probably watching that game realizing, hey, you know, there's a reason why the world's won these two games. Hey, stop hitting the ball to short and stop pitching to the world's best baseball player, not named Shohei Ohtani.
Right,
that's right.
It's awesome when you win, not only because you perform better, but also because the team clearly knows they're making mistakes in real time, they continue to do it.
Oh, they made mistake after mistake, and it snowballed. And, like, the Royals won the series, no question. Q managed circles around Brandon Bean or whatever that guy's name is in the dugout over there for Baltimore.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe his name is Brendan High, and I will only remember him because of his mistakes. Yes.
Right.
We are currently joined by Royals beat writer of The Athletic, Nate Taylor. Nate, let's get down to some Chiefs talk here real quick, because they'll finally talk to the media. It seems like it's been forever since we've heard from anybody from the Chiefs. Let's dive into the elephant in the room, Rasheed Rice's knee injury. What do you know? What have you heard? Or are we still like what Bob said?
We're going to have to wait. That was this week. Yeah, that feels like it was like 6 months ago.
I guess we'll have to wait until Monday, probably, but maybe we'll hear something today, or maybe you know something we don't know.
Yeah, so I just, you know, this is one of the reasons why I had FOMO yesterday, right? I was still kind of chained. Not really chained, but I was, you know, still on the phone, still kind of monitoring things. Here's what I've reported in The Athletic. I think the story just came out this morning because, you know, I'm going through the trade machine, but also trying to figure out, like, what's going on with Rasheed Rice. In essence, he's going to see a particular specialist, is my understanding, in Dallas, basically his hometown, and that they hope to find the true severity of his injury either Monday or Tuesday, if necessary. Now, what's fascinating about all this, fellas, is Rasheed has already gone through multiple MRI scans. They've already gone through a couple of, you know, doctors and second opinions, and hell, give me a fifth, you know? It's just like one of those things where it's like, well, is it a torn ACL? No one's reported that yet. It doesn't seem like that is necessarily the case. Now it's about the severity of the injury, and if he can come back, is it going to be an issue of, hey, man, you could really damage this much worse? And one of the things that you don't want to happen is, hey, after we all saw that replay, after we all saw that his knee move in a direction that is not natural, what you don't want to happen is, hey, you come back, say, 6 weeks later, and then you tear your ACL in a non-contact injury, and now you set yourself back even further from a medical standpoint. So that's going to be, I think, really the issue. And, yeah, maybe we should learn something on Monday or Tuesday with him in Dallas, seeing a specialist with the understanding that as of right now, ladies and gentlemen, he has not torn his ACL, but we just don't know, like, the timeline of when he could return and how high the risk is of, hey, man, because this team is going for a three-peat, because you already had – you're in the midst, you know, before the injury of having a fantastic sophomore season, you could really affect seasons 3, 4, 5 if this doesn't go quite well once you come back, because obviously your knee's just not going to have the same strength it had before the injury on Sunday.
Yeah, and also then that turns to, okay, what are the Chiefs going to do at the wide receiver position? Look, with $4 million under the cap, there's not a lot that they really can do at this point in time. Plus, you're not going to make trades with teams at this point in time, because if they start trading off their pieces, they're telling their fan base, we're done, and then nobody's going to buy a ticket, and people forget this is a business first, game second. So what do you see them doing in the near future, and then kind of long-term future, you know, long-term being the rest of the season at wide receiver?
Yeah, so I'll give a couple options, because I think those are the most legitimate based on kind of what you were saying, Bob, about the salary cap and just the way the calendar works out, right? Now, one of the reasons why I think some executives and owners were in favor of the league actually pushing back the trade deadline an additional week, right? It used to be like basically Halloween. It used to be like early October, or excuse me, late October. Now they've pushed it a week. It's technically, I think, after the election.
I thought it was election day, if I wasn't mistaken.
Yeah, it's November 5th. I mean, there's so many days and numbers in my head, but like, yeah, it might be election day. It's basically election week, so hey guys, do something before then. Please do something on November 3rd. So with all that being said, it does give teams more time, and it does give teams that additional week to sort of either find what the true market is, which I think was some issues, you know, in previous years where, like, when the Chiefs made the trade for Kadarius Toney, just for context purposes, they tried to get in front of the market. at the trade deadline. And so I think that move was on like October 25th is when we learned about it, and then it became official on the 27th. So a couple options. You need the New York Giants to lose every game from this day forth until the deadline.
That's not asking a lot. Have you seen Daniel Jones?
Really,
you know, it's not asking a lot.
You need the Carolina Panthers to lose every game.
Not asking a lot.
Until November, right? And the last team that you're probably asking, and again, this is not necessarily to acquire this player, but again, just to get things like really, you know, cooking in the mix is, hey, can the Pittsburgh Steelers start losing? Like, because it's clear to me and it's clear to everyone in the league that, like, hey, guys, you're 3-1. Kind of bit of a surprise. This is just another, you know, a compliment really to Mike Tomlin, because I will never doubt this man as a head coach. But the Steelers don't want George Pickens, okay? George Pickens is a headache. He does play more football than Kadarius Toney, but he's still, like, kind of the same level of prospect when you have to deal with the person just as much as the actual football talent. Now, if the Steelers get into the mix, that could better inform you about who is actually available for the picks that you have. And I think Clark Hunt does not want to give up a first-round pick, obviously. He probably doesn't even want to give up a second-round pick. So your baseline is really starting at, like, the third-round pick, which, of course, is the pick you received from the Tennessee Titans in the trade for L'Jarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. So you need the Steelers to start losing so that they can get off of George Pickens, because he'll probably cost more, and he's more of a viable option than, say, Tyreek Hill or, obviously, Devontae Adams based on their contracts. So that means someone like Darius Slayton, someone like Deontay Johnson for the Carolina Panthers, all of a sudden, hey, third round, fourth round pick kind of seems good. And, oh, by the way, those players are, let's say, more professional than George Pickens.
Last one here for you, Nate. Who sees more playing time, or who sees their playing time amped up due to circumstances in this game against the New Orleans Saints, Kareem Hunt or Xavier Worthy?
I think for one game, because the bye week is the following week, I think it's probably more Kareem Hunt, because what gets lost in all of this is when you watch the tape, and even in real time, man, those legs look fresh. They look good. He looks confident. I know some Chiefs fans are like, oh, my God, a running back with a burst who finds the hole? What?
And doesn't fumble?
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so it's like, I understand why Chiefs fans are starting to, you know, give themselves a little bit of imagination when it comes to, okay, what if Isaiah Pacheco comes back relatively up to his form, you know, after, you know, taking time to recover from his fractured fibula, and you have Kareem Hunt, right? Like, mm-hmm. that might be the best 1-2 punch that Patrick Mahomes has ever had. So I think for this game, you kind of lean more on Kareem Hunt because, again, he's the more veteran player. He showed the burst, the intensity. He honestly gave them a lift when they absolutely needed one, down 10 points against the Chargers. Whereas I think for Xavier Worthy, you kind of want to still slowly build this up. You're going to have to ramp it faster than you want because there is no Hollywood Brown. We don't know how long Rashee Rice will be out or if he'll come back this season. But you at least have the bye week to prepare him for bigger responsibilities, to prepare him to play multiple roles at multiple positions in the offense while also trying to not overwhelm him. I think some fans kind of forget that. Like, these guys are rookies, and it's only their fourth, fifth, sixth game. Like, you don't want to give them too much because you actually want them to slowly progress over the course of the season, because you pretty much are of certain that you're going to be playing in postseason games. So you want that player to be at his absolute peak at that time, not trying to squeeze, you know, the most you can get out of Xavier Worthy in weeks 8, 9, and 10.
Well, Nate, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the playoff run from the Royals with the little one and the missus as well, as you guys gear up for a blue October, and then soon it'll be a red January. So it just kind of all flows into itself. Nate, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much.
Take care. Nate Taylor there, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. I might have made a mistake with a terrible take, but it was met for it on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter. We'll dive into what that take is next on the other side as well with Smash or Pass. That's Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home. for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Mac is just staring into your head over here as we return back from commercial break.
Sounds like something from Josh's childhood. What the hell is this?
Cracker Jacks, baby.
Yeah. So, which is perfect for that. We do this every Thursday around this time or earlier most times. But
this depends on the day and how we're feeling.
Loaded show. It's already almost over, if you can believe that.
Can you believe it's almost 9 o'clock, Dusty?
No, we're an hour away from just hitting 4:35.
I mean, we're getting close, baby.
I can feel my sheets and my plums.
You going to take a nap today?
I don't know. I might go play golf.
It's a nice day for that.
Yeah, I got nothing going on tonight. I'll probably tune into the game a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little bit at work.
Yeah.
I saw this yesterday on Twitter. And 913-586-7965. I think this is the perfect text line topic because everybody's going to have at least one opinion that everyone's going to be against in this. And this is, what is your most unpopular baseball take?
Okay.
Mine was the seventh inning stretch should be retired.
Okay. Were you watching the Mets-Brewers game last night?
No.
By chance?
Okay. I watched the San Diego-Atlanta game.
Okay. So you were watching that one. So I'm watching the Mets and Brewers last night, and John Shambi, who's also the television voice of the Chicago Cubs, is on there with Doug Glanville, and they were talking about walk-up songs. And he said to Doug Glanville, did you have a walk-up song? And Doug said, yeah, I had about four every year that I would cycle through and everything like that. And John Shambi goes, I'm going to steal from my partner on the Cubs side of things, Jim Deshays, and say, I would use Take Me Out to the Ball Game as my walk-up music just to confuse the crowd.
Kind of funny.
And I was so good. I really like that, right? Like the, seventh inning, what? You know, and people would start singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game. I'm like, that's beautiful. I love that. Like, right. That's my kind of humor, you know?
Yeah.
And so I saw that and made me laugh a little bit. But this, you don't like the seventh inning stretch altogether.
It's just, I think it's like outdated. Like, do you really have to get up and stretch? Like, you get up and go get a beverage or food, or you stand up throughout the game because somebody's walking. They're like, dude, just take me out to the ball game. Like, nobody eats Cracker Jacks anymore.
When was the last time you had Cracker Jacks?
Never once have I had one.
You've never had Cracker Jacks ever?
No, it's caramel popcorn.
Yeah, I like caramel popcorn.
So you should love Cracker Jacks.
It's the popcorn isn't a good popcorn, though.
It's like stale.
If you go Topsies and you get that caramel popcorn, it's crispy, it's crunchy, it's sweet, it's like flavorful, it's hot, it's good.
It's not even fair.
That Werther's popcorn you got me was great.
Was it?
But it might, maybe that is the same thing as?
No.
Cracker Jacks has peanuts in it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It has the peanuts in it. It has a terrible toy. An awful popcorn. The popcorn is like you're biting those styrofoam things, right? It's just like coated styrofoam.
So are you smashing or passing on Cracker Jacks?
I mean, if they're there, you know, it's one of those things that you just kind of take a handful of every once in a while.
Not really.
You know, I'm not seeking it out. I'm not going to buy it, but if somebody like passes the bag down, I'll take some out of the bag, but I'll never buy Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, I don't even like see them to purchase really ever. But yeah, I like them. I enjoy them.
Yeah.
If they're there, I'll eat them.
Yeah, they're there, but it's like, I'm not going to the store. Like, I'm not going to Hy-Vee today and going, oh, okay, you know what I need? I need this, a Cracker Jacks. Like, that's never going to make the list.
Yeah.
And I'm never going to buy it at the ballpark, just like I'm never going to buy Dippin' Dots. That's been the ice cream of the future for 30 years. Where else do you find it other than a baseball stadium?
You can find it at Hy-Vee, but it's not the same. I don't know why, but they sell it at Hy-Vee.
They
sell it like in the freezer aisle. They sell Dippin' Dots, but, you know.
Worlds of Fun.
Yeah, like.
But those are the only places.
Yeah,
like it's like you don't go out to dinner and you say, would you like some Dippin' Dots for dessert? Like, it's the ice cream of the future that never materialized anything. My unpopular baseball opinion, that song Center Field by John Fogerty needs to go. I mean, we've not evolved from
Vern's
that
on that
song.
Page. Like, Vern agrees.
I mean, like, how long has baseball been going on since the 80s? And we continue to roll back that song every. It's so cliche, and it's just not that good a song. Like, move on.
Mm-hmm.
There's other songs out there we can play. It doesn't have to be the Center Field song by John Fogerty. People write about baseball all the time.
Somebody says from the 913, Cracker Jacks are like those strawberry candies, which are delicious. But they say you don't see them in the store, and your grandma just randomly always
has
them.
No, you get them at Hickory Farms.
I love those strawberries.
Those strawberries, you get them at Hickory Farms. That's the place to go.
Somebody says, get your steak dinner today, Bob.
That's right, $10 at Hy-Vee. Get your taters and your green beans as well at all your Hy-Vees. $10 steak dinner day. Let's go.
Mac, what's your most unpopular baseball opinion?
I don't need the strike zone on TV.
Because it's always wrong?
Okay.
Yeah, because it's always wrong, and because even if it's right, you're going to think it's wrong. It just pisses people off. Who cares?
It does.
And the umpire knows better, and even if they don't, so what? They're calling the game. Shut up.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair. Unpopular baseball opinion from the 620. I'm going to go old man here. Let's get rid of analytics. I'm with you on that. I think stats suck.
Right there.
I'm fine with that. I mean, I think Vinny even said something after the game last night about exit velo. He goes, I don't give a, you know, I don't care what my exit.
Don't pull a Dusty.
No, don't pull a Dusty. But he did say that. He said, I don't give a bleep about exit velo. We won the game. Yep. Like these. This is the problem. This is why Baltimore got eliminated, guys. Nerds cost Baltimore the opportunity to move on. They're all analytic based. You're all analytic based. You're going to fall on your face.
You're wrong from 316. Fogarty has to stay.
God. Be a 90.
They got Garth Brooks out of there quick when he did the layman all my roots.
You know, and that really hurt Garth's feelings. I'm not going to lie, because I talked to Trisha, his wife, at the World Series that year. And she, you know, Garth is really hurt by the fact that, like, they took that away. And, like, he, like, it bothered him. Like, I thought that's great. Everybody at the game loves it. The people who didn't like Friends in Low Places were sitting on X, formerly Twitter, complaining.
Mm-hmm. Somebody from the 816, baseball opinions. Managers stop dressing like players. It's not 1940.
I totally agree.
Put them in a suit.
Here's a good one from the 316. Get rid of the shift.
Yep.
We did that. Thanks.
That happened. Yeah. Somebody says take away the nets, all of them. Sit behind home plate.
Yeah,
then go sit behind home plate.
I don't even notice that the nets are there.
I really don't. I mean, if you like focus in on it.
But you don't really notice they're there. They're fine.
It's kind of like this random stat. Your eyes see your nose 24/7. Your brain tells them to ignore it.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Papa gummy.
Yeah. I mean, now I'm looking at my nose.
But your eyes see your nose 24/7. Your brain tells your eyes to ignore that.
Right.
Also, you've never seen your actual face. You've only seen a reflection.
True. Yeah.
That's weird.
Deep thoughts with Dusty Likens.
Do that people complain about the nets obstructing?
Not anymore. I mean, like, I think when they first put them up, people, but again, are the people that are complaining going or the people that are complaining sitting on X, formerly Twitter, complaining about that? Like, I think we get lost in a world where people complain. Like, we look at social media, we're like, this is what people are saying. It really isn't. It's really not.
Here's a unpopular opinion some people might not like. You remember back in the day when they do the little games? They still do them kind of at Kauffman. But they had to find the diamond in the rough, and they'd put, like, two bases, and they'd blindfold the guy to, like, look in
the diamond,
and the crowd would tell you where to go.
Yeah, I like those.
That was kind of fun. They're like, no, yes, yes. I only saw one guy find the ring and the diamond in the rough, or whatever they called that, but I remember that from the old school
days.
Yeah,
I think it was diamond in the rough or something like that. People want to get rid of the wave. I like the wave. I think it's fun. I have no problem with the wave.
They started a wave at the Zach Bryan concert. I didn't understand it.
That's weird.
It was weird, and it went all the way around, like, three or four times.
It's fun to watch. I like it. Get rid of the charge. Large chant. Nah, I kind of like that too. Yeah.
Yeah. 913-586-7965. We just dove into it. What are your most unpopular baseball opinions?
Right.
Coming back on the other side, if you want to tell us what you were doing yesterday or what you plan to do for the Royals playoff, how you're going to spend Monday night, let us know. 913-586-7965. Everybody's in a good mood. It's Thursday. The Royals are moving on. The Chiefs are playing the Aints. Derek Carr has to play outside of a dome. Call us up.
Apparently, I heard a promo. He wears eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm. 913-586-7965. How are you spending these next few days watching your sports team that you can hear on your home for Kansas City Sports 96.5 The Fan?
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.